Blog Talk Radio.
People you need to know. It's time for people you need to know. It's time for people you need to know on the radio. People you need to know. It's time for people you need to know. It's time for people you need to know.
Welcome to People You Need to Know on Internet Radio. I'm your host, Spark Plug, publisher of People You Need to Know, Metro Atlanta's premier business spotlight publication, where we promote business people you can call today. In this segment, we're going to be talking about some of the taboos surrounding mental health. My guest is a licensed professional counselor, and she is the president of Intimate Details, LLC. A psychotherapy practice in Atlanta, Georgia. I am honored to introduce the listening audience to a young lady who is committed to helping people from all walks of life live a richer and fuller life through mental health counseling. Ms. Tiffany Davis, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sparkplug. Thank you very much for having me.
Ms. Davis, what exactly do you do at Intimate Details, LLC?
Well, as you said previously, I'm a licensed professional counselor. I specialize in late adolescent to adult psychotherapy, which in layman's terms will be basically counseling services, and I specialize as well in the treatment of sexuality issues among those populations.
Okay. Well, what common concerns do individuals have when entering a therapeutic relationship?
A lot of times, most individuals are mostly concerned about confidentiality. They're wondering if, when I enter into this relationship, if I tell you something, are you going to tell my mom? Are you going to tell my spouse? Are you going to tell my partner? Are you going to tell my employer? Or any of those kinds of things. Another concern that comes up often is, how long am I going to be in therapy? Can I come for just one visit and, you know, be fine? Or is this something I'm going to have to do long term? So both of those things are usually things that people are generally concerned about when they come in.
Well, what common misconceptions do individuals have regarding their health insurance as it relates to using their mental health benefits?
Oftentimes, they will think that, you know, I have this health insurance. It comes out of my check every 2 weeks when I get paid. And I should be able, just like I go to my primary care physician, I should be able to call them up and go to the therapist as often as I need to or as often as the therapist says that I need to. And oftentimes that's just not the case. Your mental health benefits are actually carved out, usually to a separate company. For example, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Georgia, many of my patients have that. Their mental health benefits are actually carved out to a company called Magellan. And Magellan farms out those mental health benefits. And generally, folks have about 20 visits per year, so per calendar year. So that means that they can go as many times as they like. Their insurance will only pay for up to 20 visits per year. There's also something called pre-certification, and that means that the provider would actually call the insurance company, give them some information about you as the client or the person receiving services, and based on that information, the insurance company will actually tell you whether or not you're eligible to use your benefits for that service. So it's not always a given that, you know, just like your primary care physician, you can walk in and no matter what's going on with you, the insurance company is going to reimburse. Mental health benefits are a little bit different. Just because you have them does not always mean that you can use them. And for a lot of my patients, that's very, very frustrating.
Should a person use their health insurance to pay for mental health care?
Well, there are pros and cons about that. Certainly, the health insurance definitely does help us. Healthcare in Atlanta and America is expensive, and without our insurance, some of us would not be able to afford it. So certainly, there is a benefit to using your health insurance to pay for your mental health care. Unfortunately, there are some pitfalls as well. There is, in the insurance industry, kind of a clearinghouse. If you've ever had to pay for your insurance out of pocket, like maybe take out a personal policy, you fill out your application, you send it in, and they tell you, based on the information you provided them, whether you've had a history of, let's say, abnormal pap smears, or a history of diabetes or history of certain heart conditions or any of that kind of stuff, all of that makes your insurance premium go up. So the monthly fee that you're paying is going to be a little bit more than maybe their advertised rate based on what's going on with you and your medical history. Same thing with mental health. In order for your insurance company to reimburse you for mental health or to pay for mental health services for you, your provider, the person providing services for you, must give them a diagnosis for you. You won't just go in to see a therapist or counselor and then and you actually be able to use those mental health benefits without the therapist giving the insurance company some information about why there is a need for you to pay for service. So whether that is depression, anxiety disorder, an adjustment disorder, sexual dysfunction, any of those things, I must, as a provider, tell the insurance company what's going on with you in order for them to pay for services. That becomes a con here because many folks don't want their insurance companies knowing that they have depression, they have anxiety, they have mood disorder, psychosis, any of that. But if you want your insurance company to pay for the service, they have to be notified as to what's going on with you. And some folks are really uncomfortable with that. So my suggestion here is just to weigh those pros and cons to make sure that you're ready to accept that eventually, you know, your insurance company is going to have to know that information.
But aren't there other options other than therapy to help me get better?
Sure. There are options beyond therapy. There are options really prior to getting to therapy. A lot of individuals will rely on support groups. They'll rely on their church. They'll rely on different things to help them get better. Sometimes those things work and sometimes they don't. And that's when they don't work is when I would recommend seeking therapy. Also, beyond therapy is the need for medications. A lot of folks are going to their primary care docs and saying, you know, I'm really down, I've really been feeling really bad lately, and the primary care physicians are actually prescribing the medications that they might get. There's not a lot wrong with that system or scenario. But what is wrong with it is these guys are trained in general medicine. If you're going to receive any kind of psychotropic medications, you really need to get those from a psychiatrist. Those folks are trained specifically in those psychiatric drugs. And sometimes actually seeing a therapist can prevent you from having to go the medication route. Not all psychiatric or psychological stressors need medication. Sometimes there are some therapeutic ways that I work out in my practice with the client that helps them to avoid having to take medication, which most folks, you know, they don't want to be on medication.
Ms. Davis, when is the right time to seek mental health counseling?
You know, I think that folks can do this really at any time. When things become too much to handle, when it starts to disrupt your daily life, when you don't feel like you can do it on your own anymore and you don't have someone that you can talk to that can be unbiased, that is a time to seek therapy. Oftentimes I have clients who just want someone to walk through a journey with them, to really be able to hear what it is that's going on with them, not judge them, which a lot of times, you know, we talked about before, you know, where do you go, and we talk about church and we talk about support groups. Sometimes we get a lot of judgment from those areas. We really want to get the opinion of someone who is unbiased, who can give us just a clear perspective on what they see about what's going on and help us deal with those day-to-day matters so that we can move on with our lives and be productive.
Who goes to therapy, and is it just for the wealthy?
Anybody can go to therapy. I think there's oftentimes a misconception that only those folks that can afford it will go, or only certain people in socioeconomic statuses will go, and you have to be able to afford it. Certainly if you've got insurance, then you're able to use your insurance benefits, as we talked about earlier. You're a great candidate for therapy, but it really boils down to, are you ready to make some positive changes in your life, regardless of your race, regardless of your ethnicity, regardless of your socioeconomic status? If you're ready to make those positive changes in your life, then you may be a good candidate for therapy.
So what can I get from therapy that I can't get from a night out with friends or my family or just going to church?
Like I said before, most of what you will get is an unbiased opinion. A lot of times when we ask our family members for advice, I have a lot of clients and even friends who say, you know, every time I talk to my mother, every time I talk to my sister, you know, they say this. And the more negative that folks hear out of your mouth, the more that you're unhappy, they tend to, especially if they're close to you, advocate more for you than for the other person that you're involved with, more for that job. So they hear your side often, which means they're not looking at the other side of things most often. What a therapist will do is kind of pick apart what you're going through, help you figure out what of this is it possible for you to change? Is it possible for you to maybe do something a little bit different? Or is it best for you to get out of the situation because the situation in and of itself isn't going to change? And so you want to find someone who is able to give you a perspective other than your own. And sometimes it takes someone that you don't even know to do that in a way that's effective for you.
Well, what if I come into mental health counseling and I don't want to be on medication? Will I have to be?
Absolutely not. What I do as a psychotherapist is I strictly do therapy. If there is a need for medication, then I can refer you to a psychiatrist who will prescribe. A lot of times, though, more often than not, clients don't need to be on medication or don't need to be on it for an extended period of time. However, I will say this, with severe and persistent mental illnesses like psychosis or pervasive mood disorders, medication is needed, and that is okay too. Most often, the stigma that's attached to mental illness is, I'm going to be mentally ill for the rest of my life, and I'm going to have to take medication for the rest of my life. When you think about mental illness, and as I'm talking to folks about taking their medications, one of the things to often remember is that mental illness is a chemical imbalance. It's something you have no control over. Therefore, there's no reason to feel stigmatized about it and to feel bad about having to take the medication. Just as someone who has diabetes, that is a chemical imbalance. It's a difficulty in the way that we process blood sugars. Those folks have to take insulin for the rest of their lives, or depending on their dependence upon insulin. And we need to start thinking about mental health care the same way. If there is a chemical imbalance, we may have to take medications in order to be okay. And there shouldn't be that big of a stigma attached to that, because it's what we need to do to take care of ourselves and be healthy.
So you're saying that if I see a counselor, it doesn't mean that I'm crazy?
Oh, absolutely not. To me, that means that you're healthy. You're taking the steps necessary to take care of yourself and do what you need to do. Just as we work out, we eat right, we go to church, all of those things make us a better person, help us to take care of ourselves. And sometimes seeing a therapist or counselor helps us to mentally stay where we need to be and to get where we need to be.
So let's go back to square one. What should I look for in a therapist?
First and foremost, I suggest using the Internet as your friend. You will oftentimes, therapists are just getting into, I think, starting to do more Internet advertising and websites. That's a great place to learn about what to look for in a therapist, and also once you find some therapists, to read more about them. Most will have a really good website that details the parameters of their practice, their office hours, where they're located, and all of those things are important. You may want a therapist who works near where you live. You may want a therapist that works near where you work. All of those things are really important. Secondly, I would say call and talk to them. Let them know briefly about what's going on with you, if they've ever dealt with a situation like yours, and if they feel like it's something that they would be willing to start off a therapeutic relationship with you. I'd also look at education. Counselors in the state of Georgia, in order to practice, need to have a master's degree. You'll also want to make sure that they are licensed. Counselors in the state of Georgia can be fully licensed by the Georgia Composite Board of Social Workers, Marriage and Family Therapists, and Professional Counselors. An LPC, like what I have, stands for Licensed Professional Counselor, and that means they're licensed in the state of Georgia to provide counseling services. Also, just a really good demeanor, lastly, someone that you feel like you connect with, that you can talk to. And you also don't want someone to just agree with everything that you say. I would say watch out for that. If you had someone that could agree with everything that you say, you could just talk to yourself essentially and save your money. But you want someone that can give you an unbiased opinion, a fair opinion, and a balanced opinion.
Well, Ms. Davis, how can you be reached?
I can be reached in a couple of ways. My office phone number is 404-441-0466, and you can call that number to talk to me about what's going on with you and to set up an appointment. My website is www.tiffanydavis.com, and that's TiffanyDavis.com.
Well, Ms. Tiffany Davis, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Spark Plug. It was an honor.
You've been listening to People You Need to Know on Internet Radio. For more information about our guests, log on to sparkplugpeople.com. Until next time, always remember that you can add a spark to whatever you do. Thanks for tuning in.
People you need to know. It's time for people you need to know. It's time for people you need to know.